muted or not? Okay, all right. There is a very little justice in the world, he says, stating the obvious. Many people, most of us, feel like we're not being treated fairly, and just about all of us feel like we deserve a better deal than we're getting. So again, we think there's very little justice in the world, but that's the old news. That should not be new to anybody. We already know that. So the question this morning for us becomes, what do you do with it? Now, you can either get frustrated with that fact or you can shrug it off. You can either become a bitter and cynical person who gripes that the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, and it isn't fair, or you can simply accept it and go on. But what you cannot do, what you can never ever do, is stuff down inside forever the feelings that go along with that injustice. If you think the world is not just and that hurts, either you can grumble about it or you can decide to work for something better. But the one thing you cannot do is hold all of that resentment inside. Painful feelings have to go somewhere. So don't ask whether bad things are going to happen to good people. They are. They will. They do. Don't bother with why bad things happen to good people. Whole books have been written to explain that, and I still don't know anything better than to say that bad things just do happen to good people. There's a story, and it doesn't matter how good they are. There's a story of a pastor in England during the Second World War, and he used to tell about the ladies across the street who always wanted to crowd into his bomb shelter whenever there was an air raid. They had their own bomb shelter. But they wanted to come into his because they thought it might be safer if they were close to the pastor. True story, you can't make that up. They thought that something that bad could not happen to a good man like their pastor. So what do you think? I'm sorry, but I think that bad things happen to all kinds of good people, pastors and priests and rabbis included. So again, when bad things happen to good people, what do you do with your feelings? You cannot hold in your angry, resentful feelings forever. You cannot do it. So where do you take your complaint? What will you do with your resentment? Let's pray. Father, oh Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the lessons that we can learn from every single piece of Scripture, every single word of Scripture. And Lord, as we continue to explore the Psalms, we ask this morning that you would speak to us on this Palm Sunday about your Son and our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. So, Christians seem to me to have a stock answer. We know what the correct answer is. You take it to the Lord in prayer. We sing songs about that all the time. Take it to the Lord. Loud and clear, when bad things happen, we say that we should pray, and we should pray, and we should pray some more. And that's our usual answer, and I don't disagree with that at all. But what if prayer doesn't work? What if prayer doesn't help? What if prayer makes no difference at all? What if your prayer comes bouncing off the ceiling like talking to thin air? When I was working for hospice, I remember a couple who had been married only about a year, and the gentleman was the hospice patient. They had both been widowed and had remarried, and about a year after this happy marriage began, the husband had been diagnosed with cancer that had metastasized, and his days were numbered. Doesn't sound very fair. They've been married for a year. We prayed together each time I went over there, of course, and his wife, the very first time, said this, and I'll never forget it. She said, "I don't let anybody out of this house without offering prayer." Fine. Great. Awesome. But then one day she followed me out of the house and she said this. She said, I just feel like God has abandoned me. Now, I could have told her not to feel that way. I could have lectured her about how the Lord never fails us. But that would not have changed the cry of her heart that God has abandoned me. It's what she felt. It was a bad thing happening to some very good people, and they didn't like it. So what are they going to do with their feelings? Well, there's no more anguished cry anywhere in Scripture than that of Psalm 22. It's a shriek of abandonment that echoes across the century and sends cold chills up the spine. If there was a soul in torment, this is it. This is a storm of despair. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Folks, listen, behind this psalm, something bad, something awesomely bad has happened to a good person. It's bad because it erodes the spirit, it eats the soul, it cracks open this person's relationship with God, and we're not told who it is. When bad things happen to good people and they can't even get God to hear them, what do we say about that? I have three things. First of all, when bad things happen to good people, prayers of anguish are the right thing to do. God is ready to hear the prayer of the anguish. Folks, listen, and I need to make something very clear. It is not wrong to pray to God with complaints. It is not wrong to pray to God with complaints. God will receive the prayer of complaints. He's big enough to handle angry prayer. I'm struck with how many times the psalmist in this Psalm 22 comes through in this prayer with his complaints. It's as if he's kind of stuck in his pain. He complains, and then he remembers God's goodness. And then he complains again. And then he remembers how God brought him up as a child. And then he goes right back to complaining again before he cries out in sheer desperation. Three times in one psalm, he lapses into extravagant descriptions of his plight. Three times he cries out in the dark night of his soul, and he just keeps at it. He won't shy away from his hurts. So the first lesson I think we need to learn this morning is that we feel what we feel. That's a profound statement right there. We feel what we feel, and God can take it. God can handle it. God is big enough. Folks, don't edit your prayers. Don't play nicey-nice with God. Get it out there. Say it. If you hurt, vomit it out. Don't protect God from your gripes and your grumblings. Folks, God wants your honesty. God doesn't hear prayers that are all timid politeness. God hears the raw pain of the human heart. A man told the story about his wife's final illness. She knew she was going to die. And she was a research biologist, and she knew more about her disease than her doctors did, so she knew what was coming. And one afternoon, she asked her husband to read the Psalms to her. He asked, which ones? Is there a favorite psalm? She said, honey, read them all. Just start at the beginning and read them all. Well, he started with the first psalm. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. The great eighth psalm came later, and our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And then he went on in the 19th and the 20th and the 21st psalm, and then he stopped. Then he hesitated. He looked at the next psalm, and this one, the 22nd, he decided to skip right over it. It was too grim, too heavy. How much more lovely, he thought, than to read the 23rd psalm. It's everyone's favorite anyway, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So he started to read that, but was interrupted by the patient lying on the bed. Honey, you skipped one. Don't skip it. Read it. Folks, listen, she knew that she needed the cry of complaint. She knew she needed to cry out her pain. Folks, we do need to air our grievances before God. We do need to get out the bitter with the sweet. If you feel it, folks, say it to God. It's big enough, He's big enough to handle it. This is one way that your heart can let go of your hostility, one way your heart can let go of your pain, one way you can start to trust God knows what He's doing and there is an end game in play here. When bad things happen to good people, go ahead, scream, pray fiercely, insist that God listen. He wants your honesty. The second thing we can learn this morning is that God has given us some reserves. Reserves to go on when it feels as though He's not listening. When bad things happen to good people, they find that God has given them experiences and memories to keep them going. When you read this psalm, and I encourage you to sit down and spend some time with it, look at both the downers and the uppers, back and forth, words of despair, words of memory, words of despair, words of hope. Sometimes back and forth, up and down, the psalmist first feeling so bad and alone, but then he remembers. He remembers that God was there for the people of Israel in the past. He remembers that God brought him safely through his childhood. He remembers that God rescued him from other dangers. And so every time he goes down, there's something planted deep in his memory that brings him back up. Every time he's tempted to give up on God, he thinks for a moment about when God didn't give up on him. I think of the old Negro spiritual that goes, sometimes I'm up, sometimes I'm down, sometimes I'm almost to the ground, oh yes, Lord. You see, folks, our problem is that we, especially in this century, live in the here and now. We live in the moment. We want things to be the way we want them, and we want them right now. We don't remember what God's done in the past, and so we don't trust Him for the future. There's an old saying that God answers prayers in three ways. God answers prayers with yes, God answers prayers with no, and God answers prayers with wait. Well, not long ago, I heard a takeoff on the idea of waiting. What if prayer was like those voicemail menus you get on the telephone? You've reached Heaven's Prayer Center. Your call is important to us. If you're calling to praise the Lord, press 1. If you're calling to confess your sins, press 2. If you're calling to intercede for a sick friend, press 3. If you're calling to ask for something for yourself, press 4. Let's press 4. If your call is for a spiritual gift, press 1. If your call is for guidance, press 2. If your request is for patience, press 911. See, we get that we have to wait and see what God will do. Most of all, we have to wait and remember what He has already done. And it's all through Scripture. There are Psalms that say, I will trust in what you have already done. I will call to mind the things you already did. When bad things happen to good people draw on the reserves of memory to get them through while they wait. One man lost his wife after a long bout with cancer. It was a terrible, devastating time. But then almost immediately after she died, the entire family was stunned when his adult daughter also contracted the very same cancer and she died. The man was a man of prayer, but he had just lost 2 family members in a very short time to the same cancer. Who could pray coherently in a time like that? Who could get anything out but cries of pain and cries of despair? Later, however, this man shared that in those dark hours it came flooding back into his mind scripture verses that he had learned a long time earlier. Verses which he thought he had forgotten, but now in the moment of need, they were a resource, they were a presence, they were a power. Squirrel, a couple years ago, I put verses back there, 1 a week for a whole year, 52. Did it again the next year, 1 a week for a year, 52. That's 104. On the table back there where the prayer list usually is a stack of about 120 verses, all the ones we did, and then some new ones. Folks, if they're not in there, they're not in there. But Pastor, I can't memorize anything. Yeah, you can. You don't have to memorize 120. Choose 10. Take a year to memorize 10. Get them in there. Because in the last few years, I've been through some dark, ugly times, and verses popped into my brain that I didn't even remember memorizing. But they were there. And if I wouldn't have memorized them, they wouldn't have been there. And trust me when I say they got me through some dark days. Learn the scripture. Choose 5, choose 10. Folks, we need to touch our memories with the goodness and the love of God, because when bad things happen to good people, we might get so caught up in the grip of the moment that we don't see the God who has already been there for us. But if we remember what he's already done, we will know that he will not forget us, and we can wait. Finally, the third thing we can do is to recognize the scriptural pain, or spiritual pain, spiritual pain is like many other forms of sickness. You might have to hit rock bottom before you can start back up. You may have to deteriorate before you can heal. And it may be that sometimes God appears not to hear us. God seems to stay at a distance from us in order to force us to know how much we need him. If you notice, when we read this psalm, the psalmist seems to get a little bit more desperate, a little bit more frantic with each speech. The more he cries out, the more he deteriorates. If I was going to do a psychological profile on this guy, I'd say that he was absolutely clinically depressed. He begins by complaining to God that God seems far away, but then his next word is a whole lot worse. The Bible says, "But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by people. All who see me mock me." That's pretty bad. But keep going. Just when you think it couldn't get any worse, it does. First, the psalmist felt unheard by God, then he felt scorned and mocked by everybody, and now his anxiety gets so bad that he has physical symptoms. The Bible says, "I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death, for dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones." That's bad. That's horrible. You know what that feels like? Have you ever felt a load so heavy that you just feel all poured out and wasted, exhausted, and drained? Despair, folks, is physically draining. And in fact, if you've been hit by a load of bad stuff, you're going to get so tired that you're going to be vulnerable to almost anything. But the point, folks, is that sometimes we have to hit rock bottom before we can start back up. Much like the alcoholic or the drug user who has to get so needy before they'll admit that they need help. In much the same way, God answers us with silence often until we admit how much we need him. So I was thinking, could it be that if God seems silent, it's God's silence is part of his strategy to reach us? Could it be that God may actually send us to the very edge of hell, the edge of separation, because he sees that we're convinced that we can do it for ourselves? That we've never admitted that we need him. Folks, when bad things happen to good people, maybe it's precisely because we think we're good. Maybe it's precisely because we think we're good and we trust too much in our own goodness that we need to find out who's in charge. When bad things happen to good people, folks, oftentimes God is waiting for them to get off their goodness kicks and come to him in sheer faith. And folks, listen, here it comes. I don't think our reading of this psalm would be complete if we didn't see that finally, in God's own time and God's own purposes, God hears the cries of the desperate. God listens to the prayers of the anguished, and in his own time, for his own purposes, he brings relief. Finally, the psalmist is able to say, and the Bible tells us, "For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but he has heard when he cried, but has heard when he cried to him. Sorry. Folks, God will bring relief. God does hear our cries. He will not leave us in pain forever. How do you know that, Pastor? I mean, how can you stand up there and say that? Pastor, where's the evidence, Pastor? I know this because someone else spoke this psalm. Someone better than you. Someone better than me. And he spoke it in the most terrible moment in human history. I know because of a bad thing that happened to a very good, perfect person, best of all. I know because Jesus, the Christ of God, hung on a cross. I know that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, got nailed to a tree, the best of us done in by the worst of us. Talk about bad things happening to good people. Folks, nothing surpasses this, that the very Son of God who knew no sin was made to die a criminal's death. And when that happened, what did he pray? What prayer came from his heart? Psalm 22. And some scholars will tell you that he prayed the entire thing from that cross. But all that's recorded for us is these very pointed words of Christ. My God, why have you forsaken me? Even Jesus Christ suffered estrangement and distance from God. His dad, his father. Even Jesus Christ suffered estrangement and distance from God, just like we do. And folks, Jesus Christ is at the very side of the Father. And he knew the awesome, terrible, complete, and utter loneliness of not being heard by God. His son. But, and it's a big but, 3 days later, Jesus Christ saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied. 3 days later, God heard his cry and brought him to life. 3 days later, his anguish was turned into victory. God heard his cries and brought him through. Hallelujah. And God will bring us through as well. God will act in the midst of our suffering of bad things and bring us through to life. Absolutely, without doubt, without fail. Young boy used to get in trouble with his dad. And he would plead and beg and clamor to get out of whatever the punishment was that was coming. He thought that the punishment was a bad thing happening to a rather good little boy. Father seemed to pay no attention to the little boy's pleas, and he would be angry that his father just wouldn't hear him. But at the end of the day, there was always his father's quiet walk up the stairs to his room where he would sit and talk with the little boy and kneel and pray for him. And then that little boy would know that at the end of the day, indeed, he had been heard and he was satisfied. Folks, when bad things happen to good people, go ahead and complain. It's okay. God is big enough. Draw on your memories of God's mercy and wait. Remember that he suffered, that he died, but he's alive. And we will be at last satisfied with our Father's presence. And may God's kingdom come.